This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. This Thanksgiving is set for the second highest travel volume in almost 20 years. AAA estimates nearly 50 million people will hit the roads. For Massachusetts drivers, it's a good time to practice putting down the cell phone. Governor Baker signed a bill into law yesterday banning any use of handheld devices, such as cell phones, while driving or cycling. Here's Governor Baker as he was signing the bill.
When a driver on an electronic device hits something or someone, that's not an accident. It's a crash that was avoidable.
So there you go, drivers and cyclists. No texting, no scrolling, no swiping. Enforcement doesn't go into effect until February. But we wanted to take some time today to talk about what this is going to mean for people on the roads. So joining us on the line is Massachusetts State Representative and Assistant Majority Leader Joseph Wagner, who's been filing legislation on distracted driving since 2003. Welcome, Representative.
Hi, how are you?
Well, and you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Also joining us is Chelsea Police Chief Brian Kies. Chief Kies, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, so I'm going to start with you, Representative Wagner. Could you please explain what the law allows and prohibits when it comes to cell phone use while operating a car or a cycle?
Sure. Well, if I could, let me pick up on the point that it has that the law doesn't take effect for 90 days or until February. Primary enforcement can happen even in the interim period until then, but with only warnings given, and that's actually from this point until March 31st. And but the ban on texting is still in place, so I don't want to go too far afield here, but law enforcement can still stop motorists who are texting, and that is primary.
And let me just pause for a second there and check.
Sure.
Chief Kies, are you planning to begin enforcement immediately?
Well, as Rep. Wagner just indicated, so there has been a law in the books since 2010 that prohibits texting and driving, which, you know, police departments have been involved in enforcing that. I think that certainly at this point, I mean, as a matter of fact, it's actually, you know, great that Rep. Wagner just actually made that point. I was under the impression that we really weren't going to get into the hands-free provision until the 90-day run, and then thereafter, certainly with the warning period to the end of March and probably beyond that as well. But that's good information.
Well, and you know, perhaps I should double-check on that because there is a 90-day, but perhaps it's the interim period, Chief, between the 90 days and March 31st.
So I
hope I didn't misspeak on that. I'll check and get a clarification. In any event, until March 31st, at a point at which law enforcement would begin to enforce, it would only be warnings. And then upon implementation on March 31st, the provisions under the law for $100 first offense, $250 second offense, and $500 per third and subsequent offenses, with those third and subsequent being surchargeable.
Representative Wagner, I can imagine listeners going, but wait, how do I not offend? So what is it physically won't be able to do?
Put down the phone. The law, with respect to the hands-free provisions, very simply provides that operators of motor vehicles cannot hold electronic mobile devices while driving. It's as simple as that.
Okay, so go ahead.
You can use your phone to receive and make phone calls. If your car is in Bluetooth mode, but you cannot pick up the phone, you cannot dial a number with the phone, you cannot text. If the phone or a built-in device is attached to the dash, and you can use one swipe to activate the phone, that is an acceptable. That is an acceptable thing, but put down the phone. It's as simple as that.
So hands-free, Bluetooth. I don't want to run down the rabbit hole of tons of scenarios, but you're operating your GPS, a call comes in. Are you allowed to touch the phone to reject the call so you can continue to see the GPS screen? That kind of thing?
You can't. You could activate or deactivate a call with a swipe.
Okay.
And that's it. Other than that, you're not to touch the phone under the law.
So one of the questions that came up as we were preparing for this segment is, you know, this is really about distracted driving. The focus here is cell phones. But what about changing the song track or the radio station, putting on lipstick, eating a French fry. How far does this law go? Is it exclusively focused on devices?
Well, and the chief would know this as well, but we already have a distracted driving provision in Mass General Laws in Chapter 90. So, you know, law enforcement can enforce for matters of distracted driving at present.
And what kind of things do you look for, Chief Kais?
Well, as was everything you just indicated. I mean, certainly if someone is, they're brushing their hair, they're putting on makeup and drinking coffee at the same time while they're operating a motor vehicle and they're drifting all over the road, I mean, that is certainly an issue that we would address. But certainly this is something different that we've seen. It's at a whole nother level, I think, when it comes to cell phone use and how people are being distracted. And not so much, I mean, I'm glad the law reads the way it does. I think it's a very comprehensive piece of legislation. I think that the idea of people staring at their phone, looking down at a text or an email, and then just veering off the road, even for a second, is really what's been, you know, the problem that we've seen certainly since over the last several years.
And Representative Wagner, it occurs to me I should ask you to clarify, what about emergency cell phone use in a vehicle?
Yes, there are provisions, let me see if I can find it here. I've got the law right in front of me. I'll look for it. But there are provisions where if it's an emergency, there are very limited exceptions for that type of thing.
And my understanding is, you know, like an emergency 911 call is okay, or if you're pulled over and not on the side of the road and not moving in the vehicle.
Yes, if you're pulled over and on the side of the road and the vehicle isn't traveling, that would, I believe, is within the law.
Chief Kais, this sounds like it could be complicated to enforce. Do you anticipate that it will be so?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think the 2010 law was complicated to enforce.
That's
I
the
think
texting
was,
law?
Yeah, I think only because, you know, individuals did have a justification for using the phone. They would claim that they were looking at the GPS. They would claim that they were just answering the phone or just dialing a number. And oftentimes, perhaps they were, but distracted nonetheless. I think that this one here, as Rep. Wagner just indicated, put down the phone. They can't be using the phone. The electronic device no longer can be utilized in their hands. So it does make enforcement a lot easier. I don't think police officers per se are driving around going to be staring inside every single motor vehicle. But again, what usually jumps out at us is the driving behavior. Someone's driving down the street, and we see it all the time where there's a stop at a light. The light turns green, and the individual that's first in line is just sitting there because they're looking at their phone. Someone's driving down the street, and God forbid they start to veer over the double yellow line in the wrong side of the road. And again, they could be reading a text, or God forbid, they're sitting there trying to drive and type at the same time. So these are the enforcement activities that we would intervene with. And in doing so, looking down to see if they are actually using the phone, that they would be subjected to the fines, as the rep indicated, the 100, the 250, and the 500. But again, we would hope that we can get the message out there collectively through education, that we can really work together as a strong group to kind of change the social norm and really just change the culture. We're all so used to it, I think, a lot of us, for so many years, that this is going to be a significant change. But in the long run, it's really going to increase public safety on our roadways.
You know, yeah, go ahead, Chief.
If I may, I just want to make three very quick points to what the chief said, and I agree with every word of it. First, in 2010, I was chairing the Committee on Transportation, and the House, in a bill that went to conference, had a hands-free provision. And at that time, there weren't the votes in the Senate to move it forward, and it was laid aside in conference committee. And I made the argument that we could not, that law enforcement would not be able to sufficiently enforce the ban on texting, which was in the bill in conference committee, if people could still hold cell phones. And so the chief's absolutely 100% correct on that. Number two, with respect to the education piece, there are provisions in the bill for the Executive Office of Public Safety, together with the Safety Division of MassDOT, together with local chiefs. There will be a campaign around education for junior operators and adult drivers, and that is to occur on an annual basis. And I know the chief will be way ahead of the curve on that one, and so will his colleagues across the Commonwealth. Third, I live about 10 minutes from the Connecticut border, and every other New England state has a ban on handheld phones. And when I drive over the line into Connecticut, you just don't see people on cell phones. So the chief's right there as well. It's an attitudinal type of change. It's going to take some time. We will have a ramp-up period, but the roads are going to be a lot safer, and there will be many, many fewer lives lost to distracted driving.
I want to talk about a controversial piece of this law. One important part, and a lot of the negotiating around it over the past couple of years, has been concerns over racial profiling and enforcement of the law. Some are worried that the ban will give law enforcement an excuse to pull over people, and that will excessively affect people of color who are already disproportionately targeted in traffic stops. The law does require police officers to collect racial data on each stop they make, whether it results in a citation, a warning, or an arrest, in order to track what groups of drivers this is happening to. Some don't think that goes far enough. Here's Shigun Itawu. He's executive director of the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts, co-founder of the Boston Police Camera Action Team. And he worked with State Representative China Tyler on the bill. She was the only opposing vote in the House.
Adding more reasons to the slate for pulling people over means that eventually that folks of color will be the most impacted by this. Unfortunately, we're taking baby steps. So, you know, yes, it is helpful, but, you know, we want to take one full swing at this thing, not spend the next 20 years pushing for something that should have been done when we were pushing for it.
Chief Kais, do you share that concern, and what can law enforcement do about it?
Well, I mean, you know, you mentioned about disparate treatment or that disproportionality in terms of targeting a specific race. You know, honestly, I can understand the argument. I can understand the premise of it anecdotally. I'm just having
actually, there's a lot of good data to show that it does happen, at least across nationally.
So we're talking Massachusetts. So in Massachusetts, I would love to see the data. I mean, I've been asking for it for a long time. I would love to see the data within the state of Massachusetts. Matter of fact, I would love to see a series or even an individual high-profile incident where something like this occurred. That would show that, you know, a particular police department or a particular police officer was engaged in some type of racial profiling. Because I know that we have mechanisms in place across the entire state where this type of behavior is not to be tolerated under any circumstances. There'd be a serious investigation, very comprehensive investigation, and there'd be serious consequences. So I'm not blind to the fact that I see, you know, things that have been happening certainly around the country. I think we do a great job in our state. Making sure that something like this, that these type of incidents don't happen. But I understand, again, the premise of the argument, but as far as someone coming out and stating that now law enforcement is going to have a tool or a reason to profile, I think, honestly, is, to be quite honest, is very insulting.
So, Chief, the law requires data tracking, which then will be observable. We'll be able to see who is getting pulled over, who's receiving warrants. If it does show bias, how does a department or a law enforcement community respond to or correct for that bias?
So,
Sure, Representative Wagner, go ahead.
Because there is a provision in the law the governor signed yesterday that says if analysis of the data would appear to indicate that there could be, even if it would be implicit, any type of profiling, that the Secretary of the Executive Office of Public Safety, in consultation with the Attorney General, could make that determination. And then in a community where that might be the case, all stops would be subject to recording rather than just those under the law and across Chapter 90 where the data is kept and accumulated and then analyzed and put out there in an aggregated fashion.
Representative, I'm so sorry. I'd like to do more on this, but I'm going to have to stop you there. We're running out of time. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about this again. That's Massachusetts State Representative Joseph Wagner. Thanks for joining us. Also, Chelsea Police Chief Brian Kais, thank you.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.